everybody. I'm your host, Lisa Shield. Welcome to Dating Without Drama, where I give you my unique take on everything related to men, love, dating, and romantic relationships. My practical yet spiritual approach to getting emotionally naked and attracting what I call a guardian of your soul will be music to your ears. So let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Getting Inside the Right Male Mind. I'm Lisa Shield.
And I'm Benjamin Shield.
And it is lovely to be with you today. So we are going to talk about how over-strategizing is a form of self-sabotage when dating. We think it's one of the biggest mistakes strong, successful business women are making today in their dating. They are so trained in their business lives to strategize and to focus on outcomes that when it comes to dating, they just want to know. They want to get to the bottom of things. Why can't we just get this out of the way? Whatever. And what happens when women do that, babe?
Well, my vision of it is that it's not a dance. It's a sprint. In the best of all possible worlds, dating is this beautiful dance where one person isn't leaning back entirely and the other person's pursuing, or that one person is kind of going about dating and getting to know someone and the other person is thinking about what the next move will be, what the exact words of a text should be. And it's crazy making.
Crazy making.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy making for us to hear about it. And I can't even imagine what is going on in a woman's mind when she's doing that.
Yeah. Well, part of it is fear. Part of it is
control.
Control. And I think control is really the big word here.
Yeah.
But it's concern that things aren't going to work out unless they over-strategize, unless they think about, should I wait 8 hours or should I wait, 10 hours texting back? Or what did he mean by this text? How should I respond to that? Instead of a lightness of being, because a man can feel that stress coming from the other person. He can feel it. And he could feel when something is manipulative. And I don't mean that in that a person is manipulative, but it could be a wonderful, caring, warm person resorting to manipulative behavior because they're worried about, is this guy, serious? I haven't heard from him in 2 days, after my text. And what does that mean? And how do I respond? What do I do? So very often you would say, text someone as if you were talking to a friend. Hey, I was just, missing you, and let's get on a Zoom call, and I'd love to see your face. I'd love to hear your voice. It's just this lightness that brings two people together. It's more fun.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you think so many love coaches, say these things like lean back and let a man chase you? And I mean, if I had been hearing those messages when I was dating, thank God there weren't love coaches then, I would have been horrified.
I think some love coaches, dating coaches, relationship coaches feel more comfortable with rules and say, this is the list of 10 things you should do, and this is the list of 10 things you shouldn't do. Instead of just being human,
right.
Instead of just enjoying the process, enjoying the other person, having fun doing it. And that's what's engaging.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. It's almost like somebody came up with these theories and then everybody just took them on as truth. But I also think that part of that comes from the fact that they're trying to get these women to stop controlling. And so what they're basically doing, or what a lot of women are hearing, is, well, then either I just go in and I say, well, what are we doing here? And do you want kids? And how about marriage? And like, it's a business negotiation. Or they do nothing and just lean back and let men chase them.
And leaning back and doing nothing and letting men chase it is controlling also, because it's forcing the man, trying to control the man to move forward, to pursue, instead of it being this lovely dance.
It's still just another form of control.
Yeah, very much so.
And it's not authentic.
No, No, it's not, because the woman is saying, why isn't he moving forward? And the guy is thinking, she's not into me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how many good men have passed by good women because of this, because of these silly rules or obligatory ways they feel they need to date?
Yeah. And it's what I love in our course, our Emotionally Naked Dating course, is that the women learn how to express themselves and how to ask for what they want and need in a relationship without being anxious or needy or desperate or angry or insecure.
Yeah.
So that they can enter into relationship just being friends first.
Right. And it also teaches women how to seek those men who are seeking the same thing they're seeking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, committed relationships, finding what we call the guardians of their souls, of each other's souls. Yeah. And, you know, how to avoid the avoidance, in which it can be crazy making and causing strategy. And, well, I haven't heard from him, you know, for 4 days. And what do I do next? And just recognizing those patterns of guys that they're dating that might be avoiding and just, you know, should run from the relationship, or it will be crazy making and full of strategizing and anxiety.
Oh, it's all it is. Yeah. It's just never a relationship. It's two people kind of dancing around each other.
Yeah.
Or on that roller coaster. So back to over-strategizing. What is that about? Why do you think women do this? And what does it feel like to a man when we do it?
Well, I feel that a woman does it because there's an insecurity that the relationship isn't going to move on, that they found a guy that is potentially a wonderful partner. They may not know them well yet. And they want the relationship to be progressing at a certain pace. And for the guy, you know, guys move at a different speed. It's getting to know someone. Maybe they're dating more than one person at a time and seeing which person is the most suitable for them, that they have the most fun with, that they can be most vulnerable with. And a guy can really feel like pressure, like he's pushed up against the wall. Like, I bought these tickets for Saturday, and they were expensive tickets, and I wanted to know if you'd like to go. And all of a sudden, the guy feels like pressure.
Wow.
And
he can pick up on it too. They can.
Oh, very much so.
Even like, especially like in the very early stages of dating, they can pick up on it.
Yeah. And I think one of the concerns that a guy has in dating is that they're going to be controlled, that they're going to lose some autonomy, that they're going to be less than who they were when they were just single, that it could be like their mother controlling them, or past relationships that haven't worked where there has been control. So their radar is up.
You know? That is something they're really actively paying attention to.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that a lot of these women, like a lot of women, think they're burying it or whatever. What would be some ways that you would know, like a woman with a checklist? What are some of the ways that you notice a woman being anxious?
Well, they would be texting far more than what the guy would be texting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a guy might text occasionally, good morning, and a woman might say, he didn't text me good morning this morning. What do I do? And a guy's just thinking, wow, I texted her on Monday. Yeah, I'll do it again on Friday, you know, just to say good morning. And if a guy starts getting texts saying, particularly, did you get my text from 2 hours ago? Because I didn't hear back from you. Oh, God, you know, that's like pouring cold water on the relationship. Because a guy suddenly feels like he's obliged to perform in a certain way. And they're not even in a relationship yet.
No, and like sometimes these women are like, they've gone on 2 dates with the guy and they already have these expectations about what the guy should be. Oh, they've been on 2 dates and then they want texts all the time. And how do I ask him to text me more? I'm like, you've been on 2 dates with this person. You barely know each other. Give this a moment. Give the guy a chance to even know if he wants to go on a 3rd date with you.
Right. And I think one of the things that men crave is space.
Mm-hmm.
And when that space becomes narrowed in a relationship and they feel, well, I need to check in every night before I go to bed, or when I wake up in the morning, I have to text, or she knows I have a lunch hour, you know, and I've got this free time, why aren't I checking in? And it does feel like more like a checking in than just something relational, like, God, I miss you. I just wanted to reach out. You know, if someone got that text every other day, rather than, hi, I'm at lunch, I just, you know, wanted to check in with you. One is rich and vibrant. The other is very obligatory, cold.
Well, and I'm sure that one thing that happens with women is they have these expectations, and then the guy does call or he does text, and she's got a tone in her voice because she's already upset that it was, right. You know, there's not, oh my gosh, it's great to hear from you. And, oh, I was, you know, I've been wondering how you are, and thank you for reaching out. It's more like, oh, hi.
Right. Right. Or, because I hadn't heard from him in 2 days, I'm going to wait 2 days to respond right. to his, which is, you know, strategizing.
And oh, I even heard if somebody writes you, like, waits 3 hours, then you do double the time.
Oh, God.
Who makes this stuff up? Who makes these things up?
And that's just it. It's made up.
Right.
It's not like, well, this is the way we're supposed to do it, and, uh-huh. and this is what's going to work. It's just something that someone made up to be clever or to think that they have a fresh way of looking at something or a way that's going to work where mm-hmm. other ways haven't worked. It's self-sabotaging.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, you have to think about what you're really trying to create on the other side of this and then show up that way.
Yeah. And a guy wants to, you know, a guy will even unconsciously be projecting what it's going to be like to be with this person 5 years from now, mm-hmm. 20 years from now.
I had been very controlling and strategizing and anxious when I liked men in the past. And a lot of it was driven just by deep, deep, deep insecurity mm-hmm. and never feeling good enough or lovable and wanting this person to really love me or care about me or whatever, just craving that in general, yeah. you know, and that was the guy I was projecting on in the moment. But it was agonizing. Mm-hmm. It was agonizing, you know, and I had no skill in this part of my life. So I didn't know it at the time, but so much of my agony was driven by a real lack of knowledge and understanding of how to relate to men yeah. and to understand if I'm putting my heart out there and I'm showing up a certain way and that man isn't into me, he's not my guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that took a lot of work to get to that point where I was able to have real confidence in this part of my life and not be driven by fear and insecurity.
Mm-hmm. And it's a miserable existence
yeah.
to be sitting on your couch or in your bed or at your desk, just waiting for a text to come in, waiting for a voicemail. It's one of the reasons in your program that you encourage people to date more than one person at a time
yeah.
because it's so easy to overthink about one person when there's two or three other people. That one person isn't everything.
Yeah.
And the text coming in isn't a monumental event.
Yeah.
You know, there are other people. And, you know, if someone isn't texting a lot, isn't communicating a lot, well, they may not be that into you. They may be dating other people. It may not be that serious about having a relationship, which is why dating more, you know, multiple people is so important, because you begin to see who shows up.
Yeah. I was just thinking that going on all those dates, I just, you know, I stopped trying to get a guy to like me. I just wanted to feel good about myself and how I showed up in those situations, feeling proud that I had portrayed the best example of me on those dates. You know, I let go more and more about trying to get men to like me.
Yeah.
And as I grew in myself, I felt like I was becoming more and more attractive. And then you came along. And you fell in love with me.
Yeah.
And I wanted nothing from you. Nothing. Mm-hmm. thing from day one.
Yeah, I always felt a sense of space. I never felt encroached. After our first date, you went away for 3.5 weeks to Southeast Asia. And I don't think I wrote you once.
No.
And, you know, but I did mark on the calendar the day that you were coming back. And I, you know, called you that day.
I know.
And we've been together ever since.
Yeah.
But if you were thinking for those 3.5 weeks, he hasn't called. He's not into me. Right. You know, he's seeing other people. He, you know, we create these stories.
Stories.
Just out of thin air. And, you know, it's crazy making.
Yeah. One time I literally thought, I wonder if that Rolfer guy will ever contact me again. And then I came back and there was your message.
Yeah. And for me, I was just thinking, well, she's going to be back in 3.5 weeks. I'm going to call her as soon as she gets back.
Yeah.
I didn't think one date, or even if it was two or three, was enough to really have a conversation going,
yeah,
you know, from a distance. And so I just marked it on my calendar saying, when she gets back, you know, I'll call her the day that she gets back and we'll get together in person and get to know each other.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just a level of maturity that I think so many of us don't have in this part of our lives. It's like a direct line back to feeling like you're a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, we're back in high school or junior high school and we're crushing on a guy and we don't know what to do with this panoply. Is that the right word? Of feelings.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to learn how to do this, you know, people want this kind of relationship. They're longing for this. And they can have it. I mean, we're just two people.
Oh, right. Anyone could have it.
Anybody can have this. Anybody. And, you know, but we didn't just get handed this. We aren't just two really lucky people. We both really, really, really worked on ourselves. And I know I had to let go of all those strategies, mm-hmm, that desire to control and that inability to navigate the awkwardness, you know, that unknown terrain when you're falling in love with somebody. You want something so badly, and yet you have no control over whether or not this person will fall in love with you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of women and men, but I think a lot of women are looking for a picture to put into the picture frame rather than seeing the person. So they're almost checking off, mm-hmm, I have a relationship,
mm-hmm,
or I have a relationship that's going to progress into partnership, into marriage, whatever it is. And the man could kind of feel that, where they're more interested in getting a relationship than really, really getting into the man. And a man truly, truly can feel that.
Wow. I mean, there's so much that we don't realize on both sides about how we're showing up and what one sex is looking for, what the other is hyper aware of. This is really important. The more evolved somebody is, the quicker they're going to pick up on that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really what I think a lot of us don't realize. We were looking, oh, I can't find men on my level to date, and where are all the good men and whatever? Well, they can pick up on your neuroticism, your controlling behavior, your lack of emotional control, right? Mm-hmm. And they pick up on that stuff very quickly.
Right. And there's such a delicate balance in dating in the early times, really trying to find out if the other person is on the same page as far as marriage, as far as children, or blending families, whatever it might be, and pushing too hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
So a person just feels like they're going through an interview,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, if they pass the interview, then they could be in a relationship with this person, rather than really getting to know and having empathy and knowing that not everything's going to fit exactly in the beginning. And given the two people who are the right people for each other, they will. It will fit.
It's so funny, you know, I honest to God didn't have a checklist at all. None. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And I was thinking back to our first date and we were so in the moment and just sharing. I know you were very sincere, uh-huh, but I was just being me.
Yeah.
I was sharing about USM and what I was doing there and this project that I was...
USM, where you got your degree in spiritual psychology.
Yeah, where I got my master's degree. And I was sharing with you about, I had to come up with this second year project and what I was thinking of doing. And, you know, I have some kind of wild ideas about things. And we were just talking. You were bell jarring me. You were staring into my eyes. And I felt like nobody else existed in the world in that moment.
And that's what we mean by bell jarring. Mm-hmm. It's if when two people are together, it's as if there's a bell jar over those two people and nothing else exists. Even if it's a brief conversation, that person may never have been in a conversation where they've been so received, so connected with for that even a short period of time, let alone an evening, that that person's going to go home and say, wow.
And I did. I did. Yeah. But that was remarkable when I look back, you know. I'm so proud of us. I really believe, and I don't, you know, I say this with a lot of humility and as a result of a lot of hard work, I really do feel that our relationship is a masterpiece.
I feel the same way.
You know, I'm just so proud of it, of what we've created and how we are together and what our life is like. I just don't know if people realize how beautiful this can be, you know, and what's even more beautiful is that we're present for it.
Yes. And we're grateful for it every day, every day.
Every day.
And it's beautiful because anyone could have this. It's not, just something that is a fluke.
No.
At all.
Not at all. In fact, you know, there are a shocking number of women who have worked with us and done our course who have this. We know because we said, you know, we've met their partners, we've seen them together. We actually have a couple coming out to visit shortly. Uh-huh. A former client whose birthday is on Valentine's Day. Her boyfriend, I won't go into the story, can't spend that day with her, but he said, how can I make it up to you? And she said, you can take me out to meet Benjamin and Lisa. So yeah, we know because we meet our clients, many of them and their partners, and it's remarkable. And we hear how they talk about their relationships and it echoes what we have. But you're not going to get here by over-strategizing. It is a huge turnoff to the kind of men who are self-aware enough to be looking for that. It is a behavior that they do not want to deal with in a relationship, and they can feel it.
Well, they can feel the anxiety.
And the control, the desire to control that's underneath it.
Right. And the desire to have a relationship even before they really develop the foundation of shared experiences, conversations, becoming friends, having trust and safety with each other, to be vulnerable, you know, all of those things. It's almost as if they're driving by the exit. You know, the right exit at first would be, you know, friendship, shared experiences, trust and safety, and just driving right by that, you know, going right for the relationship. Men can feel that anxiety, but what can bring on anxiety also in women is when a man is just avoidant or just not into the person, and then it creates more anxiety, which creates more over-strategizing, which it could push the wrong people away, which is great, but it can push the right men away.
When I was dating, it was a very intuitive feeling for me if a guy was into me or not or whatever, and what I did was I would see how the guy was responding, how he was showing up without any attachment to it, very intuitively. And it wasn't done in a punishing way or whatever, but if I didn't hear back within a certain period of time or whatever, I would just send a message and say, hey, you know, it doesn't look like you have time to date, doesn't seem like we're a match, and I just want to thank you so much. You know, it was lovely connecting with you. And that was really, really important because there was a foundational belief inside of me that I wanted a man who was as excited about me as I was about him. Mm-hmm. And it had to be mutual and reciprocal. So I didn't want to work hard anymore to get a man's attention or to try to get him to want to be with me. Mm. And I was willing to go out on all those dates without strategizing or trying to control them. In fact, it was very much the opposite of that. It was just seeing how these men showed up. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
That was really nice. And it was a very different approach. It's very important that women, you know, for the women listening, that they understand that you really have to be with yourself in this process and pay attention to when you want to do something to control the man or get an outcome. Because your gestures, the way you need to operate is from caring and compassion, but not from control.
Yeah. And when a woman is over-strategizing and a man feels pushed, he doesn't feel like he's in the position of pursuing. And pursuing doesn't mean that a woman just sits back and lets a man do all the work. It's that dance between what makes a woman and a man, mm-hmm. you know, in the courtship process.
Yeah.
And a man likes to feel that he's pursuing and a woman is responding and that he wants to pursue more. And, mm-hmm. and then it, you know, just progresses. But if a man feels like, oh my God, you know, she's pissed because I didn't confirm our Saturday date, even though it was on my calendar. You know, of course I was going to, you know, pick her up. You know, mm-hmm. Of course we were going to meet, you know, whatever it is.
Well, and in a guy's mind, he would be like, why didn't she just check in with me or send me a text
yeah.
and say, you know, just wanted to make sure we're still on.
Yeah. If we were talking to friends, we'd just say, I look forward to seeing you Thursday night, you know, and I'll meet you there at six. That's just it. And the guy would say, oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, the truth is, if something's on my calendar, then it's there and I'm showing up for it.
Yeah.
If I've made a, you know, as adults, we make a commitment to somebody and we give them our word and say, we're going to do, you know, go to dinner. You know, if I make a date with a girlfriend, that's a priority. It's there. If I call her, you know, the morning of and just say, hey, just confirming for tonight. I don't write my girlfriend 3 days ahead,
right.
You know, oh, she's probably worrying if we're still on. And no, you, every time you do that, do you get that you're, I get it. Guys haven't shown up before and your time is valuable and whatever. But with a grown adult man like this, who's already got it on his calendar, I mean, you have got to trust men and know that an adult person, when something is on his calendar and he's made a commitment, whether it's an internet date, somebody he met online or wherever, it's on his calendar. And it's almost disrespectful to a guy if a woman is like,
oh, yeah. Like, what, do you think I forgot?
Hello.
Do you think I put it on the wrong date, you know, on my calendar? To a guy, it's not just silly, but it's annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be annoying to me as a grown up, as a, you know, like if a girlfriend called me up, well, why didn't you call me 3 days before to just confirm this? I would be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one cause of over-strategizing is that men and women have different styles in texting. Men may answer with two words like me too, mm-hmm. or okay, or sounds good. What did he mean by that?
Somebody on a call recently said he wrote a sentence and put a period at the end of it. He never puts a period. What does that mean? Oh my goodness. I don't know. Ask him. I can't read his mind. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. It's just crazy and crazy making. You know, to sum things up, over-strategizing is something women who, especially women who have been in the business world, they also just want the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just checking off boxes and like, well, let's get this done here. Do you want to have kids? are you ready to get married? This is how most women would like to do a first date. If we could just all, bets are off before we ever go down a road with you, we would like to sit down and say, so, do you want a relationship? How long was your last one? Why did it break up?
Right.
You know, this is what we want to know. What is your relationship like with your kids? Did you have a good relationship with your mother? Was she close? You know, are you romantic? Why did you get divorced? We want to grill you and check off all the boxes. Do you want to have kids? How soon would you like to have them? Because I'm, you know, 35 years old and I'm going to have to consider very quickly. So how are you feeling right now?
There's not going to be a second date. And I'm so sorry we met for dinner rather than for coffee. Because now I have the entree and we're just done the appetizer. And I've got the entree and dessert to sit through. You know, it'd be torturous.
Torturous. I was like, do you want to know how I felt just asking that? I was like this.
Yeah.
Instead of, it is so lovely to meet you.
Yeah. And guys may not know if they want kids until they meet the right woman. Before you and I met, I was thinking that the perfect relationship, having been previously married and having been a bachelor for a while, might be having two separate residences.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we met, and I wasn't intending on getting married again, and being with you, everything just melted away. I couldn't imagine not calling you my wife. You know, I'm so proud to call you my wife, but just saying significant other or partner or girlfriend or anything just wouldn't do it. And I couldn't imagine not waking up with you every morning. So, you know, those things change as people develop the trust, safety, friendship, vulnerability.
You know, can I say something that just occurred to me? Many people, you know, as they get older, they will say, well, you know, we don't have to get married because we're not going to have kids. And you and I don't have kids. Neither of us ever wanted them. We got married because this is a true marriage.
Yeah.
And something would have been incomplete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something would have been incomplete if we hadn't truly created a real marriage. And, you know, we put everything at risk, our finances, all of our monies, our inheritances, everything, every single piece of paper, everything we own. Mm-hmm. And this was, I was in my 40s and you were 50.
Mm-hmm.
And we made that choice because we wanted to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. We didn't want any separations, nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to close down my own personal bank account. We couldn't even figure out why I have it.
Yeah.
So that we'll just have our joint account together. Yeah. We don't even need that anymore.
Yeah.
And so we married for all the right reasons. But I can tell you that no strategy will get a woman here. What gets you here is learning how to love and be loved, how to open your heart, how to be a guardian of each other's souls. And it takes a lot of personal risk, a willingness to fully open yourself up to another person and to really surrender to the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make a choice. And make a choice. And with all the interpersonal work that we've done and all the growth that we've done, there's still beyond that the choice to blend with someone, to combine lives. And what we found is by combining our lives, we've actually gained greater autonomy and a greater sense of ourselves in doing so, because we're reflected back by the other person.
Yeah. Well, this is a magical journey with you. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Lisa Shield, and this is my husband,
Benjamin Shield.
I like that when we do that. And this is Getting Inside the Right Male Mind. I do two podcasts each week. Please tell your friends about the podcast. We've been getting some awesome feedback. People are really telling us it's different than what they're hearing other coaches say. And we want to get the word out because there's just so much misinformation about how to do this. And there's something so extraordinary when you know what you're doing. So if you want to learn more about the work Benjamin and I do, please go to lisashield.com. You will see a link to watch my free 45-minute presentation, which will take you into greater depth about the kind of work I do. If you like what you hear, stay to the end because you can book a call with me or a member of my team. Also, you can send me your feedback and you can request a topic by writing to podcast@lisashield.com, like my YouTube channel, and rate and like this podcast. All right. Thank you for joining us. We love spending this time with you and we look forward to seeing you again. Bye-bye.